From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 14th day of April, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Joe Vaclavic from Standard Grain out of Gallatin, Tennessee. Wayne Nelson is out of the office this afternoon. A bit later in the program, Archer Financial Services' Stephen Platt will join us to talk about the agricultural energies, the deal struck this week on crude oil and how crude rallied and then fell back to that $20 a barrel level. And then as we finish our time out together, we'll discuss the weather forecast too with Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. May corn 5.5 lower today at 326. July at 332 at a quarter down 4. December at 346.5, 3.25 lower. And May beans were down 7 at a quarter today. They finished $8.47. July futures 855.5 a bushel, 6.75 lower. And November soybeans at 865.5, down a nickel for the day. The bean oil off 16 cents. Bean meal $1.10 lower. Wheat futures in the soft red July down 5.75 at 549.75, and the hard red 491 down 9.75 cents. Live cattle futures were up 270 at $93.70 in the April. Feeder cattle for the April $1.37.5 higher at 116.40, and lean hogs April contract there as well at 45.65. All those a lead option up 75 cents for the afternoon. Crude oil down $1.78 a barrel at around $20 a barrel. Ethanol futures at about 94.7 cents per gallon, around 0.3 cents higher. Heating oil at 94.3 cents, down a nickel and a tenth, and the gasoline up 2.2 cents at 72.5 cents on the wholesale price. That's the RBOB for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average around 560 points higher. The U.S. dollar down 0.431. We're now joined by Joe Vaclavic. He's with Standard Grain out of Gallatin, Tennessee. Hey, Joe, thanks for being with us. I bet you've got some good springtime weather where you are today.
We have had some nicer weather the last couple weeks. It was kind of nasty on Easter, but should be improving later this week.
Tell me about your perception of what's happening in the marketplace. Start with the corn for me.
Ethanol is about the only thing that matters right now. It's such a tremendous portion of the demand base. I mean, it's a sector of the demand base that typically accounts for 35 or 40% of total demand for U.S. corn. And we've seen ethanol production in just a two-week period fell, I think, 33%. So we have some major, major demand problems. USDA cut its demand forecast for ethanol by 375 million bushels in last week's report, and that's honestly probably not enough given the situation. So that, in my opinion, is the biggest driving factor in prices right now. You do have to also make the point that demand in other areas for corn, exports and feed most notably, should see big improvements, but it's not going to be enough to offset this ethanol.
It does not appear that the deal struck with OPEC and its allies had much of an impact or long-lasting. I suppose it's just about miles driven at this time.
Well, we made an effort to fix the oversupply problem, but we still have a massive demand problem. And until we get back to a functioning normal society or something that resembles a functioning normal society, and we get that gasoline usage number back up, it's going to be really tough. I mean, you don't have the demand. If you look at the chart of U.S. gasoline demand, it is absolutely staggering how far it's fallen. We're back to levels we haven't seen since the mid-1990s. So we really need to see just society return to normal, and that would fix so many problems. It would help to fix ethanol. It would help to fix livestock. It would really help with a lot of things, and that's where we hope.
Soybeans were lower today. Do we have a good reason why that happened?
No, I don't. You know, the bean market has kind of consolidated, I guess. We had that nice run up a couple weeks ago, and now we've given back about half of that. We're kind of in no man's land. I can the friendly picture of the soybean market if you want me to, and it's do. We're going to have light acreage relative to corn. I know it'll probably be higher than March intentions.
Yeah. Well,
you've got, I really still think China's going to buy new crop beans from the U.S. in much, much larger amounts than they have in the last couple of years. And I think those purchases will start this spring or summer. If China wants any shot of even getting close to those trade deal targets, you've got to make that offer that they're going to buy new crop beans. And that's when it would make financial sense for them to do so. It doesn't make sense for them to buy old crop beans. Brazil is going to continue to undercut us price-wise, but I think you could get to a situation where, you know, China's buying some more new crop beans. You've got light acreage on a relative basis, at least relative to corn. Throw some better demand, maybe a small weather problem in the mix, and you could be looking at a much, much different market.
On the wheat side, futures had been holding fairly strong, although the day they were off, I think this was probably on the idea that wheat, because it's consumed directly, and many countries may be thinking about closing off their wheat supply on the export side. Is there a reason for it to drop, or did the grains and oilseeds just drop in unison for profit-taking reasons?
Well, remember, we've had a nice rally in the wheat market. I mean, if you look at that nearby SRW contract, I mean, it bottomed at, what, $4.90-something cents back in just mid-March, and then we traded up. We rallied in the span of just a couple of weeks. So that market at least provided the grower with some opportunities here recently, where you can't really say that about the corn market, and you can kind of say it about the soybean market, but the wheat did rally. It priced in, you know, stronger domestic demand for wheat, the fact that you've got this better demand, it seems, at the grocery store for bread products and things along those lines. But grand scheme of things, we've got plenty of wheat. We've got a big crop coming out of Russia. We've got a big crop coming out of the U.S., albeit on light acreage. But we don't have a crop problem, and we don't have a supply issue. We've got some short-term virus-related logistics issues is probably what I would call it.
Speaking of virus-related logistic issues, a lot of the processing plants or some processing plants have been closing down. However, the livestock managed to put gains in for much of the day.
Well, we hope that we can rally on bearish news, and a lot of times that'll be your signal that we've bottomed the market. I don't know if I'd go out on that limb just yet, but these prices are awfully cheap. They're awfully cheap. And if you're to believe that, you know, we see some return to a normalized economy this summer, the argument that some of this stuff is underpriced. But still, when you close down these processing plants, even for a week or two, that's such a huge chunk that's going to get backlogged in terms of livestock. It's a big problem.
Hey, thanks, Joe, for joining us today.
No problem. See you, Todd.
It's Joe Vaclavic. He's with Standard Grain out of Gallatin, Tennessee. Joined us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You may find and listen to our programming anytime you'd like on demand on our website. Just click and play right there at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or if you'd prefer, you can listen to us in your favorite podcast applications like NPR One, SoundCloud, along with Spotify, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and Apple Podcast. However you listen to us, thank you so much for taking your time with Illinois Public Media Agriculture. Yesterday, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows around the nation 3% of the corn crop has been planted. The rolling five-year average, by the way, is 4%. 6% of the U.S. winter wheat crop has headed. The rolling five-year average there is 7%. And the condition of that crop is exactly the same as it was 1 week ago at 53% good and 9% excellent. No numbers for the soybeans on the national level this week. Now, here are updates from the state statisticians.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Regional Field Office with the weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending April 12, 2020. Fields began to dry for most of Iowa early in the week ending April 12, 2020. However, northwest Iowa saw accumulating snow on Sunday, April 12th, with rain falling over much of the rest of the state. Statewide, there were 4.1 days suitable for field work during the week. Field activities for the week included applying anhydrous and dry fertilizer, spreading manure, and cultivating fields. In addition to planting oats, there were reports of corn and soybeans being planted. 29% of the expected oat crop has been planted 5 days ahead of last year and 1 day ahead of the five-year average. There were scattered reports of oats being emerged. Pastures and hay continue to green. Calving continues with very few health problems reported. This is Melissa Couch with Agricultural Statistics Services Upper Midwest Regional Field Office for USDA.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I am reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, April 12. Last week was warm and dry across Illinois, and farmers were able to make progress on field work, including planting, spraying, and tilling fields. Colder temperatures returned late in the week, and rain showers ended field work in some areas. There was an average of 4.7 days suitable for field work around the state last week. Soil temperatures range from the upper 40s in northern Illinois to the mid-50s in southern parts of the state. Corn planting was estimated at 1% finished, compared to the five-year average of 2%. The winter wheat crop is now 1% headed, compared to 1% 1 year ago, and also 1% normally. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 4% very poor, 6 poor, 29 fair, 42 good, and 19% excellent, nearly unchanged from last week, and a little better than one year ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending April 12, 2020. There were 1.7 days suitable for field work statewide during the week. Soggy and snowy conditions limited field activities in northern Minnesota, while warmer and drier weather in the southern Minnesota allowed for limited small grain planting. Livestock producers reported manure hauling and calving. Other field activities for the week included fertilizer and manure application, rock picking, and vegetable planting. 3% of the expected oat crop had been planted. That's 1 week ahead of last year, but 6 days behind the five-year average. Potatoes were 1% planted. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. On this Tuesday, let's check the weather forecast with Don Day. He's at Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. I hope you have sunshine there today.
We do, but it's a little chilly.
Yeah, same here. And farmers are wondering across the whole of the Midwest how long this cold will last and how deep it will get.
Well, first of all, it's got some staying power. We're going to go through the rest of the work week, and we're going to go through the weekend with below average temperatures. We don't see any significant moderation till maybe the end of the weekend. I think Sunday is a day where we start to break out of this cold, but this cold has got some legs to it. And unfortunately, there might be another salvo of cold coming in after a brief warm-up, you know, right around the late Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday time frame of next week. So April is throwing a lot at us. So it's going to be maybe 10 days or so before we can get into a more consistently warmer pattern.
All right. So I'd like to talk about the bottom third of the Midwest to begin with. So the last rung of the counties in Iowa south, because those will be the places that have planted through Kansas, Missouri, the bottom half of Illinois or thereabouts, parts of Indiana, at least some will have moved. What are conditions like in those areas?
Let's get a little more specific, I guess, with the days that we're most concerned about, because we are going to see your usual springtime up and downs over the next week to 10 days. But we've got some cold periods coming. And, you know, one area of concern that we have will be overnight Tuesday into Wednesday morning. Freezing temperatures along and south of Interstate 80 will get as far south as northern Missouri and central, and even parts of central and southern Indiana could be down to near freezing. And then we're going to see that again Thursday morning and Wednesday night. Then we're going to see temperatures moderating a little bit, but even into the start of the weekend. Saturday is another day where we could wake up to near freezing or sub-freezing temperatures before that little warm-up I talked about on Sunday comes on in.
And then how about those areas in the northwestern Corn Belt? They're still harvesting some of the corn in the Dakotas, and they're always later than we are, for sure, in the beginning of their springtime.
The one problem that they have is not so much the cold, because, yeah, they're going to go well below freezing as well, and that's going to certainly be a concern. It's that high soil moisture content that they had from last summer, last spring, and into this winter season. Now, there's one saving grace, is that those northwestern Corn Belt areas are going to miss out on the heavier precipitation over the next 10 days. Looks like that's going to be more along and south of I-80.
Hey, thanks so much, Don. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Well, each week on Tuesday, we check the agricultural energy sector. With us this week is Steve Platt. He's with Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. You're working out of your home office. I hope that's going well for you, Steve.
Oh, it is. Certainly, you don't have as many distractions, at least from my end, as maybe you have at the office. But it's still challenging as well, not being in touch with other people.
Yeah, indeed. So I want to ask you a couple of things to begin with, not directly dealing with agricultural energies, but with crude oil, because a deal was cut this week to decrease the supply. And I'm surprised that the crude oil has not bounced more. It's in that $20-$21 range. And I've not paid enough attention to the June and July in the futures contracts to see whether it was picked up in the spread somewhere. Can you give me some perspective, please?
Well, we did anticipate the agreement happening this weekend. I don't think OPEC and OPEC allies had much choice but to cut production. And that did lead to price strength going into the meeting, which took values up into that $25, $27 area. They quickly fell back on the recognition that there's deeper challenges that they're going to have to confront, namely on the demand side. And also even on storage. We are running out of storage, and that has been reflected in the crude oil spreads, which had moved into as little as $2.50 on the May-June and are now out to as much as $7 in terms of the May-June contract. The idea is that in terms of storage capacity in the U.S., it will basically be filled going into May once the May contract expires. And that is having an impact and dramatic impact on the spreads in crude. In other spreads, particularly the cracks, we've seen the gasoline fall sharply as people stay home. The gasoline crack, which is a reflection of the margins of converting crude oil into gasoline, fell to a negative last week and has bounced, but typically is trading in the $15 to $18 area, and you're looking at values near maybe 3.5 currently. So those have really dramatically changed in terms of those price relationships.
What are your expectations as we move forward?
Well, certainly the demand side is what is going to be key. The expectations here during this next quarter is that we could see demand off by as much as 25 million barrels or 25%. Globally, as we went into this quarter and when I was last on, we were concerned over only a million barrel surplus coming in and that would undermine values. Just think, we even with the agreement we're looking at, which at the best will cut production by 20 million, you're still looking at a pretty sizable surplus. And I'm not even sure if you'll be able to reach that 20 million barrel cut in production that everyone keeps talking about. You're going to have to depend upon non-OPEC members of cutting their production and cutting it quickly, along with putting oil into storage And with all the problems that everyone is confronting in terms of putting money out, storage of energy is not one of the major concerns, and certainly will not have major support in terms of spending funds.
So everything we've talked about is on a global level with some domestic storage issues related to that to this point. I'm wondering if you've thought about the number of miles driven in the United States, and this will relate directly to the ethanol side, as 10% of the gasoline supply normally would be made up of ethanol. So do you have an estimate of how many fewer miles will be driven, whether that be total or percentage-wise?
Well, I would say we're at least talking 25% during this quarter, and we'll see how the summer driving period, but you are going to see some significant reductions in miles driven, along with I think in terms of the ethanol usage, that has already been impacted in terms of the pricing of gasoline. Gasoline prices fell down to as low as 45 cents. Those are levels that we had not seen since early 2000s. And the question arises in terms of ethanol and how much will be refining in terms of gasoline and needing the ethanol for refining. So certainly the ethanol producers are on the ropes at this point.
Did you pay much close attention to the shuttering of plants? Poet closed down four more, including one that it was planning to open in Shelbyville, Indiana, for a total, I think, of 110 million bushels worth of usage of corn. How much of an impact might that have, and do you follow such things?
Well, you do, and I think the key is going to be how the petroleum refineries fare, because with the sharp drop in the margins for refineries, and such as Valero, they're reporting that they'll have billions of dollars of losses just this quarter, and that doesn't even include going into the summer months, that you are putting a lot of financial burden on these producers of both ethanol and petroleum products overall that will lead to the shutdown of refineries. And that certainly will hurt the ethanol industry as well.
Hey, thank you so much, Stephen. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
My pleasure, and keep well.
I will. You too. That's Stephen Platt. He is with Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report and helped us wrap up our programming. You can always listen to it again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org, willag.org. Just click and play. The Opening Market Report, the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and everything in between. Or if you'd prefer to find and listen to us on your favorite podcast applications, you can just search for Opening Market Report, Closing Market Report, or Commodity Week. And you can look for us in Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, NPR One, the Apple Podcast, and the Google Play Store. You have a great afternoon. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.